theological truths in this song. Think about those truths as we sing the third verse, and then we'll open it up for a testimony about what Jesus has done for us. Verse 3.
And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and makes me as his own. For me he died, for me he lives.
What are you thankful for about Jesus and how we stand in him and not in ourselves? When God looks on us, we stand in him. What are you thankful for this morning? Yes, Joe.
Thankful that he forgives our sins and that he died on the cross for us, and that we are going to have everlasting salvation because of him. And I wake up every morning more thankful than you could ever know because of that.
Amen. Amen. Eric.
I thank God for Vision Head. I thank God for the pastor and his family and my sister. But I had a call for one of my brothers, and out of them, hey, I wish the baby and stuff. And thank God for me and Jimmy and my friends and my church family.
Amen, amen. Anyone else? James.
I'm glad I woke up this morning.
Amen, amen. Jen. Go ahead, Jen.
I'm just glad that he's so awesome. I was listening to a program yesterday that said that he named all the stars.
Amen.
And the stars are 10 to the 25th power. That's how many stars there are.
Wow.
Like, it's just so amazing. I'm so in awe of him and his blessings and just how wonderful he is.
Amen. And they're so innumerable, too. Even if at 10 to the 25th power, but then there's still the outer atmosphere is stretching out as a curtain. So actually, it's amazing. God is stretching out the firmament. That's what he says in Job. So we're never going to be able to count them all. They're innumerable, like the sands of the sea. How many grains of sand are there? But he knows all their names, and he knows all our names. That's the key. Yes, Nicole.
I don't know. I'm always thankful, but I just feel like I can never be thankful enough. Mm-hmm. And I write that in my journal. I pray a lot, and I do these prayer writing, like I write prayers and whatnot, and I just feel like I can't write enough.
Amen.
I can't get down on my knees enough. I can't cry enough. He wants more of us, and I just feel like it's not enough.
Amen. That's a wonderful attitude to have. That's the attitude we all need to have every day. So we can't thank him and praise him enough. Yes?
As you know, I wasn't here last Sunday. I was a little nervous because of the last dog that my brother had that attacked me. But this one, he had in the crate tight. The dog's name is Titan. He's a purebred German Shepherd. I let him sniff my hand. He wasn't like the other one at all, so I was scared for nothing.
Good. See, the Lord works it out. Number 352 on the fourth verse. Let's finish it out.
His grace has blended all.
Song to start out with. Let's go to prayer at this time. Brother Darnell, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody that came today. I pray that we got here safe and now we came home safe today. I pray that we have a good message today. And I pray for my
Amen. You may be seated. Or actually, say same for pledge leaders. Pledges, come on up. Pledge leaders, give us a hand. With our pledges this week. Thankful for the free country that we have to live in. Justine posted that we need to pray for Somalia. Somalia is a terrible dictatorship there in Africa, and they literally, it's all they know is war. It started in 94, and all they've ever had is war, war, and more war. And they have little sayings. It's really quite sad, and so we need to be thankful. And if you, and it's Muslim, and so if you, even though they don't speak Arabic, to actually read the Quran, they consider themselves Muslim, and if you convert to Christianity, even your own family members will hunt you out and kill you. So it's like a death sentence. So that's why they have to stay very secretive and witness very secretively there in that country. So let's pray for the Somalians and especially the Christians there. All right, let's start with our American flag. Go ahead, girls.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Attention, Christian flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
Attention, Bible salute.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thank you. You may be seated. This time we'll have our Sunday school offering as we give to God of our tithes and offerings this morning. And God promises great blessings for us as we obey Him and read His Word and pray, and as we give to Him, He promises great blessings. He says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers, the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. So if we have a need, let us go to God, our great provider, with our needs, and He will provide. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Father, thank this day again, so should you, Lord, and bless this offering you're about to receive. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Do we have any birthdays or anniversaries this week? Anyone with a birthday or anniversary? Paul was last Friday. Anyone have any this week? And Jimmy and Eric and James were last week. Darnell, did we ever sing to you?
Mine's
next week. Next week? What's the date on it? March 11th. Okay, all right. Look forward to that. Anyone else have a birthday in March? Okay. Oh, it's Savan?
22nd's
coming up. Okay. March babies. All right. That's good. Okay. Any other birthdays we're neglecting? All right. Mike, you have to ask John. He's got the master list there for any birthdays that we have. All right. This time we'll sing our kids' song as we think about praising God this morning. And last time, we'll sing a good spring hymn. How many are looking forward to spring in 2 weeks? All right.
Absolutely.
Can't wait, right? The weather's going to change. It's going to get warmer. So here, then Christ arose. That's April 21st is Easter this year. So getting ready for our Easter program as well. So we have a kids' song for that as well as a choir song. So we're looking forward to Easter program. Let's sing this one. It's a familiar song we all know. Paul, you can play it on your violin. All right. Holly, can you hold it up for us? Okay, let's give it a try. Be dismissed to our Sunday school classes. We'll dismiss our young people for their Sunday school classes, as well as the teenagers, I believe, to go with Mr. Hodge. And the rest of us, let's turn our Bibles as we continue worshiping the Lord this morning, looking at the glory of God, seeing His glory. And we're just wrapping up this lesson, the effects of glorifying God. And let's take some prayer requests as we pray to God. He wants to hear our requests and answers them. Who has a prayer request? Joe.
I pray for everyone in the world who is not saved, because everyone is not needs to be saved.
Amen.
God loves them.
Amen, that's for sure. Anyone else? Do you have prayer requests, Eric?
Yeah.
Who do you want us to pray for?
For my sister.
Okay.
And the pastor.
Okay.
And my brother.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Prayer requests. James.
Can I pray for our staff? She's still sick.
Okay. Essie.
Yes, ask that you pray for my great-grandson. He bought the flu.
Oh, boy.
And pray for him because his blood pressure was... They took him to the hospital on the clinic in Northfield, and they found out that his temperature was 104.
Oh boy. How old is he?
He's 7 years old.
Seven, okay. All right, let's pray for Essie's great-grandson. Anyone else? Regina, and then Dawn.
I just pray and thank God for answering me that my son came home Friday.
Amen.
From the hospital.
Amen. He had...
His heart is much better.
Good. Amen.
He's doing much better.
Amen. Praise God. That muscle around his heart was... What was wrong with it again? Okay.
And it was stopping the blood from flowing through his heart.
Wow.
And that rised up his sugar. So he was having trouble maintaining his sugar.
Okay. Pray for Darrell. Praise the Lord. He's out of the hospital. He's doing much better. Let's pray for his continued good health. Dawn.
I'd like prayer for my son. He feels like he's being led by God to move to a new community, and him and his wife are just they're willing to go, but a little nervous.
Okay.
They really feel like they're being led.
Amen. All right, let's pray for Dawn. What are their names?
Brandon and Crystal.
Brandon and Crystal, okay. All right, pray for them and their move. Yes, Essie?
I meant to tell you his name is Lamont Jr. Melody.
Lamont Jr.
Melody.
Okay. Anyone else? Jimmy?
Pray for my mom. She went to ask a doctor, and she said the doctor agreed with the other doctor, so soon as she able to get her surgery, I'll be happy, because I'm a little concerned for her.
Okay. Let's pray for Patty Eby for this neck surgery.
Neck.
Okay. All right. Also pray for Mike's mom, Nancy Joy. She's getting a look at her knee this Thursday. They already did the MRI, so the doctor's going to tell her what he wants to do with her knee. So let's pray for Nancy. Yes, Nicole?
Continue praying for my mom.
Okay.
And my kids, Nathan and James.
Okay. Pray for Nathan and James to get saved, if they're not saved, and Nicole as well. What's your mom's
Barbara.
Name? Barbara, that's right. Joe.
How's the woman turn out in 1 month, the chemotherapy that she had starting again this week?
Yes, Patty. Patty, she had to stop it last week because of the swelling in the mouth,
right.
But the doctor said her blood tests actually have come back with much reduced cancer markers. So that's a big blessing.
She doing all right? A little bit better?
Yeah, I'll read her list. Hope all are well. I'm very tired now. All right, my blood tests were good. Whatever I had is going away. Okay. Or maybe she's, I guess her sickness is going away too. Also, let's pray for an intern, summer pastoral intern for this summer. We have one gentleman who's thinking about it very strongly, praying about it. His name is Elias. He's Matthias' brother. So the one we had last summer, really sharp guy. His younger brother, who's a lot taller than Matthias. Matthias was short. Elias is like almost a foot taller than him. And he does roofing, but he's going to Bible college for 1 year. So let's pray for Elias that the Lord would direct him whether to do it or not. And if not him, that the Lord would provide another spiritual young man to help us this summer. Yes, Joe.
Let's pray for Brother Danny, too, with his house.
Yes. Yes. All right, anyone else? Eric?
I want you to pray for your family and the baby and stuff.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Jim.
All right. Okay, at this time, Mike, do you have any prayer requests? No? Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go to prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being together in church this morning to praise you and thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We cannot thank you enough for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We praise you that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. We pray for each one that we're thinking of and praying for. We pray you just meet these needs in a great and mighty way, Lord, that only you can do. And we pray for any who aren't saved on here and any who aren't saved in our neighborhoods and all around the world, that you would help them to be saved very soon, Lord, that Christians would be able to reach out to them and give them the good news of the gospel and that they would accept it. We pray for Eric's sister and brother and my family. We pray you'd just be with them. Pray you'd be with the staff at James's house. We think also of Essie's great-grandson, that you would just heal him in a mighty way from this 104 fever and flu. Lamont Jr., that you would just help him. Pray for Darrell with this muscle around his heart. We thank you that he's doing much better. Pray that his sugars would get back to their normal levels as well. You just continue to heal him in a mighty way. Pray for Dawn as her son and daughter-in-law move. We think of Brandon and Crystal. We pray you just guide and direct them exactly where you want them to move to, and that you would just help them continue to serve you and be faithful to you, Lord. We pray for perhaps a new mission field for them, of people that they can witness to and bring to Christ. Pray you also be with Nancy Joyce with her knee. She's getting an MRI this Thursday. We pray you just heal her in a mighty way. Help her, help the doctor know exactly what to do for her knee. Pray for Nicole's mom, Barbara. You'd meet her needs and whatever her spiritual needs are, whether it be salvation or rededication, that you just continue to work on her. Pray for Nathan and James. They would hear the gospel and get saved. We think even of these revival meetings coming up. And at the end of March, this month, we pray that you just help many people to come out and to hear the gospel and to trust Christ. And for those who are Christians and are perhaps are away from you, that they would come back to you during these revival meetings. Pray you'd also be with Patty, that you just continue to heal her. We thank you that she was able to have chemo this week, and thank you that the signs are going down. We pray you just help her to continue to heal so she can be back with us soon. Pray for our intern coming up this summer. We pray you'd provide just the right young man that you would have for us to help in the different responsibilities of the summer for VBS and camp and the other ministries. Lord, we pray you just guide and direct him. We think of Elias as he's praying about it, strongly considering it. We pray you just lead and guide and direct him into your perfect will, and for our church as well as for him. And pray for Brother Danny, that you just continue to help him with the house, that you give him good speed. Thank you for the good progress that he's making each week. Pray for this Bible study now, that you just meet our needs in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let us go to our Bibles as we look at God's glory and its ramifications. Okay, we studied God's glory. Now let's look at what are the effects of glorifying God. 1 Corinthians 11, what are the effects of glorifying God? Pray also for Jen as she has some oral surgery this week, correct? Let's pray for Jen as well. Keep her in prayer. And how's Kenny doing? How's his heart?
He's still hanging in there. Still? Okay.
Good.
I thought it'd be better. It was better for a few days, and then all of a sudden, kind of like it turned around again. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's keep Kenny in prayer as well. 1 Corinthians 11. Did the CPAP machine come in?
Well, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
really
turned it around. We'll pray that everything can get lined up there. God knows. 1 Corinthians 11. All right, and as we look here, the effects of glorifying God. Well, it might be assumed that glorifying God is an end in itself. The Bible reveals that it is also a means to an end. Three major groups in God's creation are immediately affected by faithful worship. and obedience of believers in congregations together. Okay, so there is an effect that we have as we are successful in glorifying God truly in our lives, you know, as we live either obediently to God or not obediently, we worship Him, and there's some certain effects. Number one, 1 Corinthians 11, and starting in verse 1, okay, who'd like to read verses 1 through 5? Okay, Joe.
Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the women is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven.
Okay, 6 through 11. Who'd like to read that one for us? I pass it. 6 through 11. Okay, someone else. Nicole. All right, we'll let Nicole do it.
For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord.
Okay, so some interesting verses here that teach us of worshiping the Lord through prayer and how it is when we pray, how it goes right up to God, and how it, number one, is very powerful. Number two, how God gave certain coverings. Okay, so a man can, if a man comes into a building, what should he do with his hat?
Take it off.
Okay. Yeah. What about a woman? When a woman comes into a building with a hat on, what should she do? Nothing. She doesn't have to take it off. Why is that? Because she's not a man, okay? So it's interesting. That's in our social customs. But because, actually, it's interesting, but some of those social customs may be traced to scriptures here, that the man should pray with his head uncovered, okay? He's the head. So in other words, when a man prays, he's to recognize, hey, I'm the head of my home. If if he's not married, if he's single, he still represents, you know, if he could be the head of a home someday. But he's to pray with his head uncovered to God and literally to think about that weighty responsibility that he has to pray for other people besides himself. So he needs to carry himself as such. Well, here, a lady, when she prayeth, she should have a covering for her head. But notice here, what is the covering that God gave to women? It says in verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Okay, so ladies don't need a covering. Why? Because they have hair. Okay, men, we have short hair and sometimes no hair. Okay, and so we don't need a covering. Yes, exactly. But ladies, God gave ladies a special covering, that is their hair. And so this all relates to angels and praying to the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, spell it all out for us. I can't. I don't know. I don't know how it all works out. All I know is that it's a formula for praying to God, and it's based on our head covering or not being covered. For a man, we shouldn't be covered. For a lady, she should have hair. Okay? Yes.
Well,
I remember back when I was young in the Catholic Church, we used to have to wear chapel veils in the church. And I'm wondering if they got it from this section of Scripture.
Yeah.
Because we always had to have our heads covered.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah, some churches, like the Mennonites, they have little, the ladies wear little bonnets, and some brethren churches, the ladies all have to be, you know, you can't come into the service without a white doily on your head.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's how some churches do it. Is that in a church you were in?
Yeah.
Down
in my country.
Okay.
I still got mine at home, so we still, when you go to church, we have to wear this in the middle. A little white,
like a lace covering. Mm-hmm.
Cover your head. You're not allowed to go to the church with that.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
have to wear that.
Okay. That's interesting. So, but here we see, as we pray to God, that the man should not have his head covered, the lady should have her head covered with her hair. Okay? And notice that's where our church official stand is in verse 15. Her hair is given her for a covering. So that's why we, you know, ladies don't have to wear head coverings, because you have hair, okay? And no one's shorn here. Shorn is involved. And so you don't need a head covering. But this is just some proper things regarding prayer. And it's, so should a man have long hair? That's another question. Verse 14, doth not even nature, God's creation, itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Okay, so here, even though these are proper prayer procedures, and this is why men can pray, you know, with their heads uncovered, ladies with hair, the whole reasoning is in prayer, and as also regarding the angels. But if someone's going to say, oh, I'm not coming to church anymore because of this, you know, we shouldn't make it a major doctrine. You know, for us, there's nothing lost here, because the women have hair for a covering, so we don't make the ladies wear head coverings. But you can see how if some churches would make them wear like a bonnet, how some people might not even want to come. Okay. So anyway, so here Paul says, we have no such customs if people are contentious about this. Okay, so this is like a mysterious thing about prayer relating to the angels. Okay, any other questions? Any other questions about this? So men should not have long hair. Why? Because, you know, when you look at somebody from behind, and it's a man, and he has long hair, you often think, what?
Woman?
Is that a woman? Yeah. Is that a woman? You know, you kind of look twice, you know, and look three times. You're like, is that a woman or a man? Okay, we don't want to confuse people by the way we look, especially as Christians. We need to be forthright and honest with people how we look. That's why this whole transgender thing is just crazy. What people are doing, they're trying to make, men are trying to dress up as women. Women trying to dress up as men. Why? Because Satan wants to confuse the roles. He wants to make everyone so mixed up and so confused. You know, what about those men who are competing as ladies in the track meets up there in Vermont or Connecticut, New Hampshire? And they're winning. They're winning the meets. But it's so politically correct up there that even the girls, the poor girls who are running, these high school girls who are running really hard and they're trying to win, they keep getting third and fourth place to these men, and yet they're not allowed to say anything. Why is that? Because our world is going backwards. we're going away from the scriptures and away from common sense into confusion. And the devil is behind all this confusion. Yeah, and pray for our young people, because they're the ones that are really getting it. You know, they're getting attacked in the schools, they're getting attacked everywhere they go. Mike, anything at work? As you go to work, is there a lot of confused people?
Sure.
Some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Uh huh. So we meet them everywhere we go, and they need the Lord just like anyone else. You know, you don't come up to them and say, oh, you know, you need to change. No. First thing they need is the gospel, okay? And then all those things will work itself out if they get saved. and then you disciple them. Then those things will work out. Yes, Joe?
Well, that's why it's important that, you know, we go through these things all week long. We're bombarded by things in the world that are not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important that we go to church, you know, and that we reiterate, you know, it fortifies our knowledge that we are in Christ and that this world is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
You know, and that we need to be fortified.
Yeah, it kind of pushes the reset button for us. Yeah, so we have a proper biblical worldview again, and then we can go back out into the world. Then we need that, you know, sometimes the world tries to confuse us again, so we need to keep resetting in church. Amen. Anyone else? Comment, question, thought about any of the above? Okay, let's go to... Okay, so number one, the effects of glorifying God are the education of angels. Angels are watching us, and we are educating them by the way we live our Christian lives. You say, well, I didn't know I was teaching angels anything. You do. And so let's teach them the right things. And they don't understand salvation because they are not saved themselves. They don't have to be saved because they're perfect beings. But they are trying to understand how it all fits together, how we play into everything. So let us do a good job for the angels. Okay, secondly, now let's go over to 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Why else should we glorify God? What are the effects of us glorifying God? 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And we'll take another reader. Who has that one? Dawn? Okay.
If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom he praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And did you read verse 10 as well?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was just 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Okay, so here, according to these verses, believers also benefit from the commitment of the congregation to worship and obey the Lord. These two verses communicate the intent of God when he formed the church. The major point of the verses is that each believer has been gifted in a way that will benefit the whole assembly. The obedience of the believer in the function of his or her spiritual gift benefits other believers and brings God the glory he deserves. Okay, so let's ask some questions to discuss this. Okay, so you are benefiting the church, but how, to what extent, if any, is it legitimate to ask, how can the church meet my needs? Okay, to what extent, if any, is it legitimate to ask, how can the church meet my needs? Okay. Yes, Joe.
Well, if you're, like you say, you preach the King James Version, you know, and if that's what you truly believe, the church, like this church is, you know, following that doctrine, and so those are your beliefs, and the church is, you know, fortifying that within you, you know, it's not straying off or anything
yes.
like that, so it actually helps you with your beliefs and strengthening your beliefs, you know, that your church is believing the same thing that you believe, and they're strengthening you with that.
That's good. And it used to be all the old Bibles, the Bishop's Bible, the Breach's Bible, the Geneva Bible that the Pilgrims brought over on the Mayflower, and then the King James, which shortly thereafter became widespread to then topple those Bibles. We didn't need the Geneva Bible anymore, the Bishop's Bible, the other Bibles. Why? Because the King James was the superior one. Okay, so there was no need for a Bible change. And many revivals happened. The first Great Awakening in the 1700s happened with the King James Bible. Then in the 1800s, a second great awakening happened, a great revival all over the land, people getting saved. Once again, the other Bibles had already passed off the scene, so they were using the King James. Then the 19th century, that's when these German unsaved rationalists come on the scene and say, we have somehow lost the Bible, we're missing parts of it, we have too much of it, so let's restore it. And that's when they pushed the Greek, the bad Greek on us, and then all the new versions then came out of that bad Greek. So it's not like we believe there's like a magical, mystical thing in the King James. This is just accurately reflecting the Hebrew and the Greek that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. So what we have in our hands is just an accurate representation, the most accurate representation of the Hebrew and Greek. So lest we get in our minds that, you know, that King James is somehow different. No, it's just, this is what was handed down to us. And our great legacy, and it's very precise, the these and the thous is very precise English, okay? If you're saying thee, you're speaking of first person singular. You're addressing, and a lot of times it's God, you know, how great thou art. That's second person singular, which we don't have that. We don't have second person singular in modern English idiom today. Why? Because we've kind of gotten to bad English, you know. Our English keeps going down and down and down and down. So we don't have precise English anymore. But even back in the 1600s, they didn't use all these, some of the more precise words. Why? Because it was starting to pass away even then. But they said, we've got, English was at its height, Shakespearean English. That's Shakespeare was a contemporary of the King James translators. And so English was at its very pinnacle. And so that's when they had access to the most words of all in the English language. And that's when God sovereignly disposed to, get us the best Bible at that time. And so therefore now we don't have precise English. Now the songs that the modern songs that Christians sing is how great you are. Oh, you're great. Look, you're great. You are great. And my uncle, he went to one of those churches for a while, and he's like, I was always wondering, as it's real dark, we're singing these songs, how great you are, how great, and he said it sounds like love songs to like a special someone in the audience. And you don't know if you're singing to some girl over there, or some man over there, or to God. Why? Because the English is not precise anymore. It's not thou and thee, it's you and you and you. And so, who's you? You all? You singular? Just you over there that I'm singing to as my sweetheart? You know? And so that's the problems that we now have come into in modern English, but we don't have those problems in the King James because it's precise. So that's why it's still being used all over the world, actually. Any English-speaking country, they still like and prefer. The Christians there still like and prefer the King James, even among foreign countries that use English. Why? Because of its precision. And it actually helps teach people. The ETH words, that's always a verb. So if you see a walketh, standeth, what is the ETH words? Well, the King James translators build in to it, that's always the verb of the sentence. So you can actually teach people how to learn English through the King James version. So it's really interesting. So there's a lot of really neat things in the King James we have. So I just wanted to say that as Joe. So there's not something mystical that we hold to it because of tradition or because of something else. No, it's because it's still the most accurate and precise version out there in English. And God has blessed it. You know, great awakenings have revived and brought back our nation many times through it. And so we don't want to lose it now. I have never seen one revival happen from the NIV. And we're never going to see one either. We're not going to see one revival from the NASB or the ESV or the others. Why? Because it's nebulous, number one. And number two, they contradict, verses contradict themselves all over in different places. And I've studied a lot of it. They actually contradict doctrines. One says judgment seat of Christ. And then the other time it mentions the judgment seat of Christ, it says judgment seat of God. And wait, God hath committed all judgment unto who? Unto the Son. So wait a second. It says in the NIV and the ESV, judgment seat of God and judgment seat of Christ. Well, which one is it? Are we going to stand before the judgment seat of God or the judgment seat of Christ? God the Father or God the Son? Well, see, there's just one instance. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Well, the new versions, NIV, NASB, ESV, all say, as newborn babes that ye may grow up, as newborn babes desire pure spiritual milk, that ye may grow up into your salvation. That verse has nothing to say about salvation, but they added it in. So now all of a sudden, instead of growing as a believer, now the new versions say you need to grow up into your salvation. Into salvation. We can't grow. We can't. Salvation is an instantaneous thing that as soon as you believe, God did it. Okay? So you see how there's confusion. And the devil, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, Paul said, God is not the author of confusion. So who's the author of those confusing things? It's the devil. The devil is trying to get in a little bit of time. What's he doing? He's creating a one-world Bible. He's trying to create a one-world Bible that will be nebulous enough that the Antichrist will be able to come onto the scene and he will say, this is the Bible that we all can use. And it's going to have a lot more changes than even than what we have on the scene right now. Okay, so that's where it's going. Okay, so coming back. Okay, so the church does meet our needs, but first we meet God's needs, right? God has met our needs first. We loved him because he first loved us. And so by us obeying God and coming to church, he will then meet our needs as we serve him. As we use our spiritual gift, you know, someone here may have the gift of mercy, you know, and so they're using their gift of mercy, making sure everyone's feeling loved and accepted, and there's a new visitor coming in the door in a few minutes, and so that person with the gift of mercy is just saying, hey, how are you doing? I'm so glad you're here. Or that person with the gift of service, hey, how are you doing? I'm so glad you're here. Oh, we have the same common likes, you know, you work at such and such a place, I work there, and so each of our giftings is actually really important because you can identify with someone that's closely related to your gifting more than others could, okay? So it's important that we all get to know one another, and especially the visitors as they come in a few minutes. Next week we have the safety day, and so with all the police, fire, and EMTs coming, and so as we meet people, we're going to be able to identify and relate with certain ones better than maybe someone else. That's why it's important that we reach out and talk to people. And so then the church, God will meet our needs as we meet his needs in his local church. And then we come around and on Monday, you know, our needs need to be done. You know, we have to go grocery shopping, we have to go to work, and we have to do this and that and the other. And we'll find, wow, wait, God already took care of this. Oh, I thought I was going to have to work hard for that one. No, I didn't have to. Why? Because you took care of God's needs on Sunday. Okay? So it's really neat. We take care of God's needs, and then he takes care of our needs. It's a faith principle. We give him our first day on Sunday by faith, and in return he gives us back the rest of the week. And Wednesday night we come to prayer meeting and we're praying to God, and sure enough, Thursday we see some of those very prayers answered because God is in the business of meeting our needs. Okay, any other thoughts on that? To what extent, if any, is it legitimate to ask, how can the church meet my needs?
Pastor,
Eric?
Like I say, we went shopping for our needs and stuff like that, and the Lord told me to lift up the groceries and all that, but the Lord said, hey, you got a spirit,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Amen.
But, you know, God sees it all.
Amen. And you can witness to that person bagging your groceries or doing, and you never know what's going to happen as a result. You strike up conversation. Give them a tract. It's great. Any other thoughts? Somebody was going to say something? Amen. Amen. Yeah, the more you create friendships and and help serve others, the others will be right there to serve you in your time of need. Why? Because we're a family. We're a big family. What opportunities for serving one another does the church provide in its scheduled meetings or outside its scheduled meetings? Any thoughts on that? What opportunities for serving one another does the church provide in its scheduled meetings or outside its scheduled meetings? Amen.
If we got any problem, I call you or I call one of my sisters, like a prayer line, they pray
yes.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think is the meeting about.
Yes, amen. And if you have a prayer need, just text it right to me, and then I can put it in the bulletin. Or, you know, you can say, hey, Pastor, can you put this in the bulletin? And I'll put it right in the bulletin. Or on our Wednesday night prayer list. You say, well, I don't think it's important enough to go on the bulletin, but can you put it on the Wednesday night prayer list? And so every Wednesday night we have the big prayer list that Esther's now doing. And so you can text it right to her, or you can text it to me, and I'll forward it to her. And that way you get your prayer needs prayed for. Or you can bring it up on Wednesday night or Sunday morning. Good. Any other thoughts? Yes, Joe.
Well, if any of us, like you said, we're a family. So if any one of us were to need something, you know, at home, say we're moving, one of us
mm-hmm.
to a new home or something, you know, maybe we could help each
other. Yeah, we're right there for each other.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Anything at all. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm going to be more than willing to help anybody here do anything. And
amen.
I'm sure others feel the same way.
Yes.
Know, any one of us. So the church would maybe put that in a bulletin, like, you know,
yes, yeah, someone is moving, put that, we've done that all through the years.
Okay,
anyone that can help, help.
It's an extended family, and that's a great thing.
Amen. Amen, yes, so any needs. So let us know, if you have a need, and you say, oh, I don't want to know, you know, let us know. You know, there's no too small of a need. You know, there's no need too small. There's no need that's not important. They're all important, so let us know. What might young believers do to encourage older believers as we edify one another, and what might older believers do to encourage younger believers? Unfortunately, we're getting into this whole dynamic, with many churches are, with as they move into the crazier and crazier music, they're getting into a dynamic where I've read article after article after article by these churches to say, where are the older people? Why are there no senior citizens in the church? Why is it just 40 and under in our church? Well, the reason is because they're forsaking the older crowd because of their musical choices. And they think this is regular for all Christians. No, it's not regular for all Christians. It's not our heritage. We've been handed down through the centuries of the great hymns and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of the faith. They're inventing their own. And so therefore, as they go outside of God's will in that and appease the flesh, they're putting off a whole generation of people. Okay? And so now they're finding, wait, we don't have the older crowd in our church. We can't learn from them. Well, it's because they've ostracized them. Okay? So a church should be about all generations. Church should be about young people, middle-aged to elderly. We should have everyone represented in church. Why? Because that's a healthy church. Okay? Any thoughts on this? What might young believers do to encourage older believers? What might older believers do to encourage younger believers? Yes, Joe.
Well, like, I was raised to respect your elders because, you know, they've been down the path that you're on. No matter what it is, but especially so in the church, especially in believers and Christians, somebody that you can look up to that has, you know, it's very strong in their faith, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you can look to them for strength and hope and know that they, you know, they have answers to questions through the book.
Amen, yes.
So they can help you look through the scriptures and say, listen, you have a question, here's where it would be. Now, when I look toward the younger generation now that are believers, I say to myself, I really wish I had, quote-unquote, gotten it when I was that age.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up Catholic, and, you know, unfortunately, and I really wish I had grown up, you know, that way. But it is what it is. I got it eventually, and that's what matters. But I look at the
younger generation now, and I'm very happy because they, you know, they're learning. They have it. They understand.
Amen.
More than I wish I did back then, but you know.
Yes.
You can always learn from people that are older than you, and they're strong in their faith because they've been doing it longer than you, and they can help lead you. They can help show you where the answers are in the book.
Amen. Amen. Yes, so we help, whatever generation you're in, help the other generations to know the Lord and to learn what you've learned and say, hey, you know, this is how the Lord helped me when I was your age, you know. And yes, I had those same struggles you're having now. Hey, don't think you're alone. I've had those same struggles. Yes, Eric.
Pastor, you all need help and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, God knows it all.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs our needs. I grew up in the, but I went to church. When I was in prison, I heard some music. I stopped,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. I said, I was going to go home, but I said, no. The church opened, and I said, well, I listened to the music, and then the Lord brought me to church.
Amen, amen, that's good. All right, any other thoughts on that? All right, we're out of time. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being together in Sunday school this morning in the adult Bible class here to learn more about you and to learn that as we glorify you, that great things happen as a result, that the education of angels and the edification of believers happens. Lord, we thank you that you are helping us to edify each other and meet each other's needs as we glorify you in our lives, Lord. We know that you have a perfect plan and a will for our life. Lord, help us to follow in that, Lord, every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, about 10 minutes.